Well, Jesus went to Jerusalem, and while he was there, he passed by a pool, and this pool called, in a name that trips up even me, Bethzatha, or easier on the tongue, it's also called the Pool of Bethesda, and it's named after that place in Maryland, of course. And it was supposed to be a place of healing. That is, if one bathed in this water, then somehow God might heal one of illness or infirmity. And there were a lot of people there who believed this. Blind, lame, paralyzed people among them, we're told. One man in particular stood out for Jesus, a man who had heard about the power of these waters. It was a legend among the people, and that he made his way to this pool. This man had been sick for 38 years, we hear. And Jesus knew somehow that he had been beside the pool for a long time, and yet he hadn't ever gotten into the pool. And I want to know how he got all the way to the edge, but not in. He wasn't born next to the pool. He was born somewhere else. And in spite of his long illness and the fact that he wasn't able to move about easily, he got all the way to the edge of the pool. And then, having gotten there, he stayed right next to it for a long time. He dragged himself or had someone carry him or something all the way across Jerusalem or maybe even from farther away, and then he stopped at the edge. Now, how could he be that motivated, found that many ways around his infirmity, and then stop? And he says to Jesus, "I have no one to put me into the pool. And when I try to get there myself, someone else steps down ahead of me." And if Jesus had run into him all the way across town where he started and had this conversation about how the man wanted to get to the Pool of Bethesda, but it was all the way across Jerusalem and no one would take him and he couldn't get there on his own, it would be a different story, wouldn't it? It would be the story of a poor man who was prevented by his infirmities from seeking his own healing. But this man was tough enough to have gotten all the way to the edge because he believed that pool might make him well, and then he stopped. I've heard this story very often as the story of Jesus Christ's miraculous healing of a faithful but helpless invalid. But it's possible, I think, to read this episode quite differently. This can also be understood as the story of a man who had grit and belief and who acted upon that belief, but for some reason, his faith failed him just short of his goal until he encountered Jesus. Now, most of us think that belief and faith mean pretty much the same thing. So if we say we believe in God, then we describe ourselves as faithful. And if we say that we're people of faith, we describe ourselves also as believers in God. We think they're synonymous. And sometimes it's just fine that we use those words interchangeably because they are related. But I don't think they mean the same thing. Belief means that you have a conviction that something is true. This man believed that Bethesda was a healing pool. Faith, to my way of thinking, is action that is taken in hope. That is, we think something might be a possibility, so we do the things we need to do in order to find out, in order to get there to the edge of the pool. The man dragged himself or pleaded with other people, friends, family, maybe even strangers, someone to carry him, to get him to the pool. He went to a great deal of trouble and effort to get there. He showed great courage, and then he stopped at the edge. And that's why I say that he had belief, but that his faith had failed him. If a person doesn't act on belief, even in the face of obstacles and doubts, in the face of adversaries and temptations, then that person either doesn't have faith or his faith has failed him. Let me give you an example. If I decide I want to become physically fit, what do I do? Well, I start walking or running, or I join a gym. Maybe I even hire a trainer to help me out. If I'm out of shape and I don't exercise, or if I join a gym but never go, then I might lament the fact that I get out of breath when I'm playing with my kids. I might not like the fact that when I'm taking a hike in the woods that it leaves me red-faced and sweaty. But I'm not surprised. I know that if I want to be fit, I need to do the work to get fit. I need to exercise and regularly for long periods of time and with a greater and greater effort involved, more distance, more weight, whatever it is. That will make me fit. Thinking about it or planning it or buying that gym membership and not going won't do it. Now, every one of us in the church believes that regular exercise over a long period of time will make us become more physically fit, stronger, with greater endurance, whoever we are. Whatever our capacities are to start with, we know that that's true, right? Belief would make me sign up for the gym. Faith would make me go there on and on, pushing weight until I obtained the fitness that I wanted. Well, we talk about spiritual wellness too, and it is, in my estimation, part of physical fitness, part of emotional and physical wellness. Most of you, if I asked you about it, would probably say something similar. We believe in God. That is, we believe God exists, and we believe certain things about God. And we would say that a balanced, healthy life includes taking care of our spiritual wellness. Now, here's what I would say to you. It doesn't matter how fervently I believe in God if I don't act upon that belief regularly by doing the things that faithful people do. Here's what I think. I care about everybody here, but I don't make choices for everyone here. I don't decide what people eat or whether they listen to their doctor or use their gym membership or come to church. It isn't my place to judge anyone for any of that stuff. But it is my place to point out that if you want a healthy relationship with God, and for, if you have kids, for them to see you having that relationship and the benefits of it, then you have to put yourself in the right place. If it's fitness, it's the gym or the hiking trail or whatever it is. If it's spiritual wellness, it's church, prayer, things of that sort. And I know it's a challenge sometimes to the way that we think. I know that there are constantly things that either we feel compelled to do or that, in my case, in the old days, that I just plain preferred to church. Christian life isn't always fun, but if you want faith for yourself or for your family, you have to start somewhere. I used to sleep late on Sunday mornings, I have to tell you this. Whenever I could, for years, I would sleep late. And even after I came to believe in God, I just didn't think it was that important for me to be in church or even to pray at home. And it's not that I was even doing something that seemed fun or important, like sports or work or public service. I just loved sleeping in till 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. And I didn't even value the idea of having a strong faith to go along with my new belief in God. It would be interesting to sit down and reflect upon all the things that I did instead of praying at home and worshiping in church and assess whether or not those things ultimately mattered as much as when I came finally to do this intentionally and seek to have a closer relationship to God, how much that's meant. Life just works that way, doesn't it? The things that we put the effort and time into, we get better at them. They become more strong in us. We understand them more deeply. If you never set foot on a trail, you won't be able to hike 10 miles in the hills. You might get really good at Xbox or figuring out remotes. I've never managed either of those. But you'll never hike the Appalachian Trail. If you never do one push-up, you will never do 40. Because we only get stronger by beginning the work, not thinking about it. And if we don't go out of our way, not just to believe, but to actively look for God, to claw our way, as that man did in all his infirmity, to where we think we might find him, then not surprisingly, we might not develop as strong a faith as we would. And it's frustrating, I know, to me at least, that I don't wake up acting like Jesus every day. As many years as I've been doing this, I usually wake up and I seem a lot more like Oscar the Grouch. But try not to get frustrated that it doesn't always seem as if Jesus is leaning in and whispering in your ear. It's easy to go to the gym and be put off by those monsters that bench press 400 pounds or those people that are on the treadmill for 2 hours. It's easy to walk out in the woods and be discouraged by that person that's running along the trail with a backpack while you're kind of straining to get up the hill. Just start and keep going. And start with the basics. At mealtime, Christians give thanks to God. So say grace, very simply. You don't have to make it very complicated. God, thank you for this food. Amen. When we get up in the morning, we ask God for guidance during the day. It's not a very complicated formula. It doesn't have to be a long prayer. A lot of preachers have made us think that, you know, you have to talk to God in a way that if you were talking to another human being, they'd get bored and walk away. No, you can say something as simple as, God, guide me during this day. Amen. When we go to sleep at night, we thank God for blessings we've enjoyed, or pray for continued strength as we face challenges. God, I give you thanks for all the good things you've given me, and I pray that you'll give me strength in all adversity. Amen. And on Sunday morning, I won't say a word if you're not here, because I know that things prevent us sometimes, and it's not my business whether or not people come. But years ago, long before I was ordained, I quit sleeping in on Sundays and started setting my alarm clock. And that was the beginning for me of a long, steady increase in the strength of my faith and my sense of God's closeness. I'm guessing if you ask most people who have the habit of prayer, of service, and worship, they'll tell you the same thing. This isn't an attempt to make anybody feel bad. This is just an invitation to have a more abundant life from God to us. Remember what Jesus said to the man by the pool. Jesus asked him if he wanted to be made well. He came to make us well. He came to bring healing for our souls, to bring us back into balance, to make us well with God and strong in our witness to God with one another and with the world. Amen.